Winchester Talking Newspaper, 22nd of July, 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I'm your presenter, Roy Faithful. And your readers today are Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
And Margaret Boyden.
Hello.
If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings of the Winchester Talking Newspaper and the Winchester Talking Magazine, or if you have a problem with a recording you've received from us, please telephone Mary Davis on 01962 711998. If there's a problem with your Sovereign player, please try plugging it in and recharging it before returning it as faulty. Now, the main headlines this week are City revamp to go ahead despite fears, Recycling Centre plan overturned, Diamond year in business marked with a celebration. So let's have the story behind the first headline, please. Heather.
City revamp to go on despite fears. Plans to revive a section of Winchester city centre are to go ahead, as the council has agreed to press on with the £150 million station approach scheme, despite calls to postpone. Civic Chiefs has said they will continue with the new multi-million scheme after a previous one was derailed by legal action in 2019 and put into storage by COVID in 2020. At a meeting of the Cabinet this week, Winchester City Council agreed that public consultation will start by the end of July. The issue was discussed at the Scrutiny Committee. Resident is Imogen Dawson of Worthy Lane urged the Council to press pause. She said, "We are in a period of huge instability with COVID, the cost of living, climate change and war in Ukraine. I would urge you to hit the pause button now." The council is also proceeding with other redevelopment plans in the city centre, such as Silver Hill and the River Park Leisure Centre. Mrs. Dawson added, "Will the city become one huge building site?" Gavin Hunt said Gavin Hunt, the Chief Operating Officer at Winchester University, said Gavin Hunt, Chief Operating Officer at Winchester University, said the new vision for mixed-use development provides a really good gateway to the city. The site is an exciting opportunity. Chris Higgins, the now retired Director of Estates at Winchester University, urged the Council to speak to Design Engine, the local architects involved in previous schemes. He said they worked for 6 months on the last abortive competition. They know the site backwards. It is important we learn from the mistakes of the past. Nicholas John, an architect of Gladstone Street, called for a different type of scheme to the previous one, which involved a huge office block. He said, "It should not be development-driven, money-driven. If you're going to learn from the mistakes of the past, you have to have the local voice of the residents from day one." Councillor Todd said, "We strongly believe there is a great opportunity for restarting station approach, but we can't carry on as we did before. The context has changed. COVID has changed the way people move and work. And the first stage is listening project that tells us if we have a project that is a grower. This project will only succeed if we work closely with local people and businesses." He said any development on the Cattle Market and Worthy Lane car parks would need to dovetail with the major new park and ride being planned for North Winchester, adding, "This is not a Stalinist Russia, and nor is it 1850s Paris. We're not going to sit down and write a big plan and say this is it, with no flexibility or ability to adjust. A small 200-space park and ride is due at King's Barton within the next 2 to 3 years, said Councillor Todd. But the biggest site is still undetermined. So he said the original scheme crashed and burned and failed and was rejected by the council, and the truth is that a lot has changed from 7 years ago. The public consultation with neighbours and station users was due this summer, but will be extended to the end of September. If a scheme is deemed viable, then a master plan will be drawn up by summer 2023 with more public consultation. Conservative group leader Caroline Horrell said it was important that such a major scheme involved consultation with the whole district. Cabinet approved the recommendations, which included the start of the public consultation and establishing a cross-party reference group for the project.
Now, let's have the second headline story, please.
Yes, recycling centre plan overturned. A planning inspector has overturned a decision to allow a controversial waste recycling centre near Winchester. Hampshire County Council had refused plans in January 2021 for the five-acre centre on farmland at Three Maids Hill between the A272 and A34. But TMR South Coast appealed, and Inspector Nick Palmer has supported their appeal. The centre, which will handle 75 heavy goods vehicle movements a day and 75,000 tonnes of waste a year on a five-acre site, is set to open in 2023. The initial plan was contentious, with opponents saying the noise and dust impact was unacceptable. It attracted around 200 objections. Mr. Palmer said the woodland around the site and proposed bunding? Don't know what that means. Mr. Palmer said the woodland around the site and proposed bunding would limit the escape of dust and that any noise created would not alarm horses grazing at the stud. There are already firing ranges at Sir John Moore Barracks and nearby Motocross. I take into account that horses are more sensitive to noise than humans and may take flight if they perceive sudden noise to be dangerous. However, for the reasons given, it is unlikely that any noise generated from the proposed development would adversely affect the health and well-being of horses. All vehicles will be routed to the site via the A34 and A272. County Councillor Jackie Porter said, I'm pleased that the inspector agreed that the A34 route will be the route to be used, and in para 34 of his report, the inspector agrees that there is a special need for this location as it is expected to support major building projects on the M3 A34 corridor. County Councillor Patrick Cunningham said, "We are very, very disappointed. All three local councillors are distraught that the appeal could have gone against the County Council's well-thought-out and reasoned refusal. There is going to be a supervisory panel, which is the only bright spark, to make sure the operator follows the conditions." Tom Rutledge, Managing Director of TMR South Coast Group Limited, said, "We are very happy with the outcome of the appeal and feel it was well deserved after the efforts of our team over the last few years. We will provide a successful recycling facility to the construction industry of Winchester and surrounding areas. We will be working closely with the Environment Agency and local residents to ensure the facility operates with minimal impact on the community. We hope, once conditions have been met, to have the facility open in spring 2023. And this is accompanied by a lovely picture of Three Maids Hill, looking completely rural and open. And it's got smiley pictures of Councillor Cunningham and Councillor Porter inset, both of them looking quite pleased with themselves.
OK, Margaret, third headline story, please.
A diamond year in business marked with a celebration. Friends and supporters of a long-standing law firm raised a glass to mark its diamond year in business. Dutton Gregory held a reception at Chesil House in Winchester on Thursday, July the 14th, to celebrate its 75th anniversary. It opened its first office in Winchester in 1947, making it one of the region's oldest legal practices. Senior partner Robert Bolwell said, "In the current climate, it is quite an achievement for a law firm to reach its 75th anniversary with its original identity, values and community links intact. Dutton Gregory was founded in the heart of Hampshire's historic capital, and we have always maintained our presence in Wichita's city centre, so we were delighted so many people were able to come and raise a glass with us to mark our special moment." And this is accompanied by a picture of about 50 employees standing in the gardens at Chesil House, raising a glass. They all look very happy.
And that concludes the headline stories. And now we're going to continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, editorial comment, first person, letter from Westminster and Belgarum diary. And we'll end the whole programme with items of general news. And I'll start with the death notices. Cheevis, Janet named Maslin Cheevis at Basingstoke Hospital, aged 79. Kilcorran, the Reverend Valerie Accor Kilcorran, the former minister of St Mary's Church, Twyford. Pyle, Amelia Lillian Pyle, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, aged 90. Suster, Jenny née Graham Suster, aged 77. And finally, Thompson, Angela Mary Angie Thompson, aged 77. It's over to Heather for Christian comment.
This is headlined Ponderings of a Priest. A national newspaper recently reported on a study which found that children ask an average of 73 questions per day, half of which parents struggle to answer. You may have even tried in vain yourself on occasion to give a satisfactory answer to a child firing questions at you, multiple questions, whilst simultaneously you are juggling several tasks like shopping, attempting to have the house, to leave the house, or trying to enjoy 5 minutes' peace in the bath. If you noted down the questions that you asked in the course of a day, though, I wonder how you'd get on. For some of us, those questions might be in the realm of the mundane. What's the weather doing this week? I must dry the towels. For others, we're captivated by the latest craze. How did you get on with today's Wordle? I've lost my streak again. I have a 3-year-old who often likes to ask me questions such as, "What's your favourite animal?" whilst she's sitting on the toilet and we're trapped in the room together. Not an ideal time to spend too long pondering an answer. But what about life's bigger questions, more pressing and more painful? Those questions that are difficult to answer and require a little more time to think. Or no time at all, because we just don't know where to start, so don't even bother to try. What about questions of justice, violence, the humanitarian crises we see unfolding around the world with seemingly increasing regularity? What about the struggles we face as a nation and the need we see in our families and the communities in which we live? We could be forgiven for thinking that the answer lies within us. If we could just earn more or be more successful, more attractive version of ourselves, then things would be better. The Hollywood actor Jim Carrey famously once said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they've ever dreamed of, so they can see that it's not the answer." Perhaps then the answer lies somewhere else. Life's big questions might be ones you thought were long since left behind in school RE lessons, but somehow today's climate of anxiety and uncertainty has caused them to resurface. In the Bible, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In the person of Jesus, life in all its fullness is found. The answer isn't within us, it's in a relationship with him. So is there really more to life than what we see? I would suggest that yes, there is. An Alpha course at your local church is one way to begin exploring those questions. Sitting down with a friend, colleague or priest and having a deeper-than-surface level conversation might be another. They probably won't have all the answers, but talking openly and honestly with someone you trust is a healthy first step. Oh, also, just in case you were wondering, it's a meerkat, says the Reverend James Wymark, curate of Christ Church, Winchester.
We'll continue with letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 836. The email address is news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, and the written address is the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, S0238AL. There are 8 letters this week, and Noel's going to start.
Yes, here's the first one. It's a longish letter from Winchester Bereavement Support. Winchester Bereavement Support, WBS, was founded in 1982 and looks forward to celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Since its foundation, the charity has grown steadily, but it has remained a local service for the people of Winchester and the surrounding area run by local people. We continue to be here for you and currently give support both by face-to-face and telephone consultations with one of our bereavement visitors. Bereavement is a very personal experience, and we react to it in many different ways. You may feel shocked, frightened, helpless, guilty, angry, depressed, lonely, or lacking in confidence. You may also feel tired, nauseous, restless, and have difficulty sleeping. We appreciate that these feelings may have been particularly difficult if your bereavement occurred during the pandemic crisis. Whether your bereavement was recent or long ago, talking to someone who understands may help. Local doctors, hospitals and other health agencies recognise the effectiveness of our service and regularly recommend WBS to people. If you are finding it hard to cope and feel that you would like to talk to one of our visitors, all it takes is a phone call to 01962 863 626. That's 01962 863 626. If you should get the answer phone, please leave your name and telephone number and suggest a suitable time for us to ring you back. WBS is a registered charity, is independent, has no ties with other statutory bodies or the churches. The service is completely confidential and access to it is free of charge. Our bereavement visitors have all undertaken comprehensive training, have been DBS checked, and are supervised by professionally qualified counsellors who are also volunteers. And as I said, that's from the Winchester Bereavement Society.
This is a letter from Andrew Allen, Work on Weirs. We are puzzled as to why the work to replace the wooden boarding on river along the weirs has come to a sudden stop. There is still a stretch from the bridge to be completed. The work was supposed to be completed this spring. Our efforts to find an explanation from the City Council has been unsuccessful, and speaking with the contractors, workmen recently suggests there is no immediate plans to restart. The contractor has this week removed the heavy equipment, etc., to their temporary site at St John's, which leads us to think all is not well. Andrew Allen, Chesil Street, Winchester.
Laugh or cry? Asks John MacDonald. Jock MacDonald, I beg his pardon. Laugh or cry? It's hard to know whether to laugh or cry. The happy demise of Boris has been followed by lots of Conservative members of Parliament talking about the crises that the next PM faces. The war in Ukraine, the economic crisis, the new rise of COVID infections and the need to level up. I did not hear one of them saying that there is a climate crisis hitting us as we speak. Recently, Sir Dieter Helm, Professor of Economic Policy at Oxford University, gave a talk in Winchester. He was adamant that we had to stop causing climate change now, and that the present crisis of the United Kingdom's insecure energy supply was a wake-up call to put in place a long-term plan to deal with the climate crisis, outlandish energy bills, and in particular the intermittency of wind and solar power. Otherwise, our teenagers and middle ages, to use John Kerry's words, will just cook. I am now convinced that Boris's shenanigans grew out of the desperate thirst for power in 2010, which encouraged them to present themselves in certain ways that had no bearing on what they intended to do. Personally, I now have a forlorn hope that the next Prime Minister will see the need to lead a national government to cope with a multi-headed crisis that is at least as bad and actually far more complex than that which the world faced in 1940. That government achieved a lot, and not just militarily. This putative government needs to include members from all main political parties and the TUC, industrialists, academics, scientists, and top-rated civil servants and members of the armed forces, and be limited to 5 years in power. At the moment, the power game of party politics is playing havoc with focused thinking. Jock MacDonald, Stockbridge Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
And Simon Lever is writing about busker abuse. I have often seen and heard Marvin Naylor playing his guitar in the square or other locations in Winchester. The idea that individuals such as Marvin are subjected to such abuse is inexcusable. Chronicle Letters, July the 14th. The lack of a police presence is always rather alarming. Actually, when I see two constables walking along Winchester Centre, I always approach them saying they are a welcome sight. As for Marvin Naylor being seemingly ignored following someone calling the police, it is a rather sad state of affairs. Winchester is fortunate in having a number of excellent buskers, including opera singers and one chap who sounds like Bob Dylan at the Buttercross. Buskers add a wonderful atmosphere to an already pleasant centre. Let us not take them for granted. Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
A letter from Jeanette Shaw. Raise oil firm tax. I am shocked to learn that families are having to go without food to pay the bills. The situation is turning Great Britain into a third world country, while the oil companies are making massive profits. Nearly 7,000 members of the public submitted their responses to the government's windfall tax consultation. The government was bombarded with thousands of complaints from individuals calling on the government to go further to help struggling families in response to its announcement of a windfall tax. The windfall tax should help tackle the cost of living crisis and the climate crisis instead of prioritising fossil fuel profits. I believe the windfall tax should help fund household energy efficiency that can bring bills down. The total tax level on oil and gas profits should be permanently raised to 70%. No new oil and gas licenses that aren't compliant with the 1.5 degree climate target, and scrapping the tax breaks for new oil and gas production. The new Chancellor, Nadim Zahawi, was paid £1.3 million as a former executive by oil company Gulf Keystone Petroleum while working as an MP. We will have to see if the government continues to put oil profits before people and the planet. Jeanette Shaw, Crookham Close, Tetley.
Hat Farm Help. Wendy Ashenden from Auckland, New Zealand says, I was idly Googling today, it's winter afternoon here, and entered Hat Farm Mottisfont. This farm was where my great-grandfather, James Richard Fox, was born in 1836 to Charles Richard Fox, wife Harriet Jane Bell. I came across the article in the Hampshire Chronicle about an Eric Chase having been raised there, as his father had the tenancy of Hat Farm from 1925. We visited Mottisfont in 2011 and discovered the sign Hat Farm by the roadside on Hat Hill. The kind lady owner or tenant showed us the front of the house from the farmyard. Is there any way of contacting Eric Chase? The article mentions he resides in White Parish. I wonder if he has any photos taken on this farm during the time he and his family lived there. I realise Eric may no longer be with us. He was aged 89 in 2014, but there might be some other person in Hampshire who has some treasure information to share. Please get in touch if you know anything. Email ashenden52 wendyashenden@gmail.com. And Ashenden is the surname of the writer of this letter, who is Wendy Ashenden, and as I said, from Auckland, New Zealand. And Ashenden is spelt A-S-H-E-N-D-E-N.
And Andrew Rutter says, "Here we go." Sorry. The 15 painted model hares that have appeared in Winchester's central streets for commercial purposes have been popular with people wanting photographs of their visit. I also think they have cheered many people up by their size and unexpectedness after the constraints of lockdown. However, if you are the parents of small children, you've probably experienced their desire to climb on these hares, something expressly forbidden on their base. The council has created playgrounds in residential areas for the use mainly of older children at considerable expense. Small children find trips to the shops boring, but if a few play sculptures were provided on the way to and from the shops with images based on characters in the books the parents read to them, on which they could exercise their climbing skills and sit on, both on the way in and out, they would be easier to handle, as it would add a pleasurable experience. This could be a relatively inexpensive way of enhancing pedestrianised areas. Andrew Rutter, St John's Road, Winchester.
From Richard Grant, "Eyes shut. I'm not watching the Conservative leadership campaign on television, nor would I suspect are most people. Why would they? We don't have a vote. From what I can gather, the candidates appear to be more at odds with each other than with rival political parties. A united Conservative Party? I think not. The only issue they have now in common is that Boris Johnson was useless, and yet they gave him their loyal support. None have said they would scrap the Freeport scheme. That is going to cost us, the taxpayer, billions of pounds, more than the amount we would have paid to remain full members of the EU. None of the Conservative candidates have got the guts to admit they got it wrong. We had the second strongest economy within the EU, and we were the third largest member. We fought two world wars to unite the continent of Europe. Then we ran away, having spent a load of money to help create it. It was there for us, the UK, to take advantage. Now we are struggling to hold together the existence of there ever even being a United Kingdom. There is to me something very dodgy about the Brexiteers. We are on the brink of a very long, drawn-out recession. Who is going to support us? Your soon-to-be-gone PM wanted normality. One way to reduce the population on this planet, I suppose, apart from climate change. Richard Grant, Biston Close, Burley."
And that was the last letter to the editor for this week. Many thanks to all the people who contributed. Now it's time for editorial comment, and Heather's going to read it.
"Happy business birthday to us all. It was a pleasure to join Dutton Gregory to mark their 75th anniversary. One of the great things about Winchester is its history, and that shines through with the amount of long-standing businesses in the city. And one of the things that's great about the city is its great business community, whether that's a start-up or a business with decades behind it. There is a great collaborative spirit that works to make the city attractive. The Hampshire Chronicle has its own special anniversary coming up later this year, plans to be announced soon, as we will be turning 250 years old. We hope that We hope that our celebrations are received as well as Dutton Gregory's were. However, being the historic city it is, we are reminded that 250 years is not as impressive as it seems. Only just up the road from the Chronicle office is bookshop P&G Wells, which lays claim to a 300-year record. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Winchester's great collaborative spirit enables those businesses to thrive for another 75, 250, or even 300 years? Here's to a happy birthday."
I'm for first person, and this week it's by Khalid Aziz, and Noel's going to read it.
Yes, Khalid Aziz, writing about Winchester Project. A fascinating day, excuse me, a fascinating day chairing a workshop to kickstart a project to help people with dementia keep their brains stimulated by combining tech with archive media. It's the brainchild of my old boss at Television South, Michael Blackstad. You may have heard him on the BBC Tibet Today programme during COVID lockdown, detailing the pain of trying to visit his wife, Tricia, in a care home. I remember Tricia as a vibrant, intelligent and talented woman. Today, she's living with advanced dementia. Michael, now 82, has had Parkinson's for some years. It greatly affects his mobility, but not his brain, which is, as ever, razor sharp. At TVS, we were well used to the torrent of ideas flowing from this one-time editor of Tomorrow's World, often arriving in the early hours of the morning. Michael is a lifelong insomniac. Now, while suffering the distress of watching his wife's decline, he's turned his talents to improving the lives of people with dementia, PWD. I learned so much listening to so many experts. Professor Arlene Anstell of Reading University explained that we all have a reminiscence bump, usually between the ages of 15 and 30, when going through many life changes, we form the bulk of our long-term memories. The BBC has a project called RemArc, which makes archive material available free of charge. Let's say someone with dementia is aged 80. Their reminiscence bump would be between 1957 and 1972. Using tablet technology to deliver snippets of programming from the 60s triggers memories and conversation. Add contemporary music and film clips, and it's even more powerful. Still photographs too, not necessarily personal. Pictures of random people on a beach trigger personal memories. We heard about My Life TV, where they combine such material and stream it online. There is compelling evidence that such interventions are hugely therapeutic to those with dementia and their connections. The BBC's recently retired technology correspondent, the estimable Rory Kellan-Jones, himself living with Parkinson's, steered us through the tech. We heard from a company which has tablet-based systems to help PWD communicate with remote loved ones. We saw a five-buttoned remote control, greatly simplifying the task of navigating the screen. I haven't got dementia yet, and I'm sure I could do with one of those at home now. Stumbling blocks, decent broadband, many care home are remotely located and not a priority for BT open, out of reach. Plus decent Wi-Fi throughout the home. Training hard-pressed care workers is an issue, as is the cost of the technology itself. Representatives of the care industry were there, including the remarkable B. Chingwea Wardrobe, who, having left Zimbabwe 2 decades ago, now runs her own care agency. She thought the concept a game-changer and should be embraced by the care sector. Affordability is the key. And we were fortunate to have with us Professor Samir Gray, an NHS big beast, whose attitude to dementia is summed up by the title of one of his books, SOD 70, The Guide to Living Well. He offered us valuable advice on navigating Whitehall to get government money behind the project as they fulfil, hopefully, their pledge to sort out the care sector. My old TVS colleague, Peter Kincaid, captured everything on video. So there's plenty happening. What's needed is for it all to be pulled together, which is what our day-long workshop was all about. At the end of the day, Michael Blackstad was understandably pretty tired. Two of his children, Matthew and Sophie, are firmly supporting Michael's efforts. As with over 90% of disability, dementia is acquired as life progresses. Hopefully you and I are not yet people with dementia, but sadly for many of us it is coming. We need to support the Winchester Project while we can. Like all altruism, it is in our long-term self-interest.
Steve Bryan has written a letter from Westminster, and Margaret's going to read it.
I have written many times about my Green Winchester initiative, which aims to give information about the defining issue of our time. I'm not sure many of us needed reminding we're in a climate emergency, but if we did, this week's heat wave delivered. The good people of Twyford were certainly keen to talk climate on Saturday when I attended their Green Fair. I'm grateful to Alex, Maggie, and all those who made suggestions for the Conservative Environment Network hustings event with the leadership candidates. I made it clear with them all that this issue was key for me and those I represent. And it was very clear Rishi Sunak has the authenticity on the subject. The commitment to our net zero target, plus a firm grip on the detail of how we reasonably get there. We are clear growth in the economy is central to beating inflation, and net zero is not about taking things away or wearing Beckett's hair shirt. It's about opportunity and jobs. One part of that is the new Jet Zero strategy, which takes a giant leap towards sustainable aviation and guilt-free flying in the near future. Not least with a successful airport nearby in Southampton that employs many, either directly or indirectly, we should celebrate the growth of aviation, one of the great global connecting forces. But for too long, aviation success has come at the expense of the planet's health, and it's set to become one of the largest emitting sectors by 2050. This is a huge challenge for the UK, but it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity to unlock the economic gains from green technology and the creation of thousands of skilled jobs. And it's an opportunity for the UK to continue showing international leadership post-COP26. The Jet Zero strategy sets a trajectory for the sector to reach net zero by 2050. Its delivery will see UK aviation emissions reduce even further than the levels called for by our climate advisers, with a pathway that should see emissions never again reach the pre-pandemic levels of 2019. We have set our several clear policy goals to support Jet Zero, including for UK domestic aviation and English airports to be net zero and zero emission, respectively, by 2040. We'll also continue to support the industry as it strives for absolute zero emission flight. We've seen exciting progress on this front, thanks to UK-based disruptors such as Zero Avia, which achieved the world's first hydrogen fuel cell-powered flight in 2020. Crucially, we will accelerate the domestic production of sustainable aviation fuel and mandate their use throughout the industry. This sustainable aviation fuel mandate will start from 2025. Supported by a further £165 million funding, we are committing to see at least 5 sustainable aviation fuel plants under construction in the next 3 years. And we are making progress towards the first net zero transatlantic flight powered by 100% sustainable aviation fuel. The Jet Zero strategy is our response to the biggest challenge facing the industry in its history. Far from clipping the wings of the sector, it can secure aviation's future. You can find the whole thing at stevebryne.com.
It's time for an alternative look at the news, because Heather has got Belgarum Diary.
And he's looking at two things in Winchester. And the first is the flags flying at Winchester Guildhall. It's been all change at Winchester Guildhall, with the flags fluttering over the Broadway. In the past, the flag has mainly flown the Union flag. I presume he means the flagstaff has mainly flown the Union flag. Those of the home nations on their saints' days, the city flag, the armed forces and pride flags. On Saturday, the red and yellow Hampshire flag, featuring a red rose and yellow crown, was in pride of place. But since the invasion of the Ukraine in February, the City Council has usually flown the yellow and blue national flag in solidarity with the nation battling the Russians. One Chronicle reader who asked not to be named, said the national flag should be displayed alongside the Ukrainian one, and expressed bafflement why the Council is so reluctant to fly the flag on the Guildhall. In a statement, the council said Winchester City Council flies the Union flag in line with government advice, which states that where United Kingdom government buildings only have one flagpole, the Union flag should be flown every day except on certain occasions. As of April this year, the Cabinet followed the example of other government buildings in raising and keeping the Ukrainian flag flown in solidarity with Ukraine following the Russian invasion, and this now remains in place at the Guildhall in Winchester. And second thing looks at the hares. There's been these rather large painted model hares appearing all over Winchester. The Hares of Hampshire Art Trail has seen several figures displayed around the city centre. The one outside the Guildhall on the Broadway caught Belgarham's eye the other day as its pointed ears highlight the carving of the city shield on the side of the building. The shield shows two lions with five castles, and the earliest example in the city is in a late 15th century window in the Westgate at the top of the High Street. It is thought the castles refer to the city's main gates, North Gate, South Gate, East Gate, West Gate and King's Gate, of which, of course, only the last two remain. The hares will be on display until August the 25th, when they will be put up for auction to raise money for the Murray Parish Trust.
Lighting up time ends on Friday the 22nd of July at 5:15 a.m. and it begins at 9:08 p.m. And on Wednesday the 27th of July it ends at 5:15 a.m. again, but it begins at 9 o'clock. And we'll continue with further items of general news, and we'll start with one read by Noel.
Yes, Winchester's award-winning pharmacy. A growing private pharmacy in Winchester is now offering state-of-the-art PCR tests to screen people for cancer risks. Located along Southgate Street, Remedy Health opened in December 2021 and is owned by Deborah Evans, alongside the help of her 10 employees. The business is going from strength to strength and recently won the new business award at Winchester Business Awards of Excellence 2022. Deborah, 48, who lives in Winchester, said, "It feels amazing. It fills me with a huge pride walking into the business every day that is clean, clinical, functional, but also very welcoming. We have been able to help so many people, especially during times when access to healthcare can be difficult. We have all worked incredibly hard, and over the last 2 years, I personally haven't had a day off. I don't do things to win awards, but yet to be awarded and receive recognition for what we have done does feel great. I have won national awards for the work I have done, but to win an award here in my hometown and where my children also live feels really special." Deborah, who is married and has 4 children, decided to start her own business after being a pharmacist for more than 35 years and developing a passion about helping people live the best life they can. Remedy Health is constantly looking into the future in terms of how it can build on what it already does and offers. The business currently offers a wide variety of services, including allergy and blood tests, earwax removal, and travel vaccinations. It's also listed with the UK government as a private provider of COVID testing, including antigen, same-day and next-day RT-PCR antibody and travel certificates. On the back of COVID, it has already done some exciting technological advancements. Deborah said it is taking what has been a difficult couple of years and learning how we can use this to help people live a longer, healthy life. To be able to learn these new clinical skills and develop those to help people has been professionally and positively very rewarding. I think that it is very important to demonstrate that you can start your own business. And there's a big picture of the outside of the thing, you know, Remedy, clinical consultation rooms and registered private pharmacy with its opening times. And alongside is a picture of a smiling Deborah, who looks very pleased with herself.
Unsafe paths at King's Barton Estate. Paths across the site of the King's Barton development are unsafe for walkers and cyclists, and too many lead to nowhere, a meeting heard. Parent Lucy Taylor told the King's Barton Forum last night of the problems using paths to and from the estate's new school. She said, "I'm a parent at Barton Farm School. The paths to school are a real problem. We live in Abbots Barton and we walk or cycle. We were excited when we heard the path was opening, but it is not navigable on a bike with children. One child fell off and cut a knee quite badly. Another got a puncture. I can't ride my bike up there. It's dangerous." Ms. Taylor said the path from Andover Road to the school along the Ridgeway was also impossible to use for bikes and buggies. Some paths have been well surfaced, but several are not. If you build the infrastructure, there is a need to connect it. It is bonkers. You have got some beautifully paved parts, but not connected to anything. It's total madness. The forum chairman, city councillor Steve Cramosan, agreed it was totally bonkers. Councillor Jane Rutter concurred. "I support Lucy Taylor. The paths are uncomfortable to walk, but impossible to cycle on the rubbly ones. The contrast with the tarmac ones is ridiculous. The number of paths that go nowhere is insane. We need the paths connected." Ian Curry, technical director at Carla Homes, which is building the 2,000 home development, said several paths were temporary but had been laid because local residents asked for more direct paths before permanent ones could be laid. Carla would look to check if paths are dangerous. Public consultations are due soon on Carla's plans for the community centre at the neighbourhood centre in the centre of King's Barton. Alison Thompson of Carla told the forum that consultation would be before the next King's Barton forum in October. Councillor Jane Rutter said local people should be able to influence the design at a stage when we can move walls. The forum also heard from Mike Slynn, chairman of the King's Barton Residents Association, that the need for a new playing field for Henry Beaufort School had been removed and the land will be used for other purposes. Work on the Pelican Crossing on Andover Road is due to start on August the 2nd with a time estimate of 13 to 14 weeks and a completion date in November.
And the next general news item is from Heather.
Dog owners warned to avoid viral advice. Dog owners have been warned not to treat heat stroke with lemon juice as temperature continued to soar. Every summer, vets treat many cases of heat stroke in dogs. But with temperatures reaching record levels, practices have seen a worrying increase in people believing that lemon juice can be used to treat heat stroke. When dogs have heat stroke, they can often pant excessively and produce lots of saliva, and some people are reading online that lemon juice will help clear this if they pour or squirt it into the dog's mouth. In the Veterinary Voice UK Facebook group, one vet reported a dog had died because an owner had been attempting to manage heatstroke at home with lemon juice. Winchester vet Danny Chambers, council member of the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, said, "No dog died from missing walks, but many dogs have died as a result of being exercised in hot weather. Dogs really struggle in the heat. They cannot sweat, so they cool themselves down by panting."
History teacher made a deacon. A history teacher from Winchester College was among 17 new members who joined the Diocese of Winchester's team of clergy on Sunday, July the 3rd. The new deacons, who come from a variety of occupations, including the NHS and the civil service, will go on to serve parishes across Hampshire and East Dorset. One of them is Winchester College history teacher James McKinnell. Before being ordained, the new members of Winchester's clergy took part in 2 to 3 years of training. A deacon is a minister whose order ranking is below a priest. They take on the responsibility of serving their communities and reaching out to those who need them. Typically, deacons are ordained as priests in the following year. The Right Reverend Debbie Selin, Bishop of Southampton, said, "It is a joy to bless ordain these people, deacon, who have worked so hard and shown such dedication to their faith and to God. The rich diversity of experiences these people bring with them will only enhance and enrich the communities they go into serve in. I look forward to seeing all the great work they will go on to do." Civil servant of 27 years, Clive Beard, was among those ordained at the weekend. Throughout his career, Clive, 50, always felt a calling to help and serve others. Clive will be serving St Luke's Hedge End and is keen to develop the parish's work with young people and the broader community. He said, "I've always felt a pull towards helping and serving other people. My time at the civil service allowed me to utilise and develop these skills, and I'm looking forward to taking them further in my work with churches and communities. Throughout training, I learned so much, not only from my teachers, but from the others learning with me. Hearing their stories and experiences was truly a blessing." Claire Robinson, 55, from Southampton, had always worked with the church and education whilst raising her three children. The new minister for Maybush and Southampton St Jude said, "Arriving at Maybush felt like coming home. My calling has always been to the door, not the altar, and I want to meet people where they are and welcome them in. The liturgy of ordination speaks of reaching into the forgotten corners of the world that the love of God may be made visible, and I have really felt I can do that here." Recently, Claire has set up a new food bank marketplace at All Saints Redbridge called the Millbrook Marketplace, in partnership with the Southampton City Mission. Launching in May 2022, the food bank has already become a welcoming space for members to access good quality healthy food. As she continues her service at Maybush and Southampton St Jude, the new minister is hoping to expand the community project to include focus on mental and emotional well-being. And there's a couple of lovely pictures. There's one marked the ordainment service, where all the new deacons are in a line facing the altar and facing the lovely carvings of the church. And then below there's a picture of the Bishop of Southampton, Claire Robinson, and the Bishop of Basingstoke. The two bishops, of course, wearing their lovely mitres. Are they mitres? Hats? I don't know.
Work to replace river fencing to be finished this year. Work to place more fencing along the River Itchen in Winchester has been delayed for the third time. The restoration work along the weir started in 2020 and was due for completion in early 2021 at a cost of £275,000. However, COVID and the need to restore the wall and place more fencing on the riverside pathway extended the project, with a new finishing date originally set of this summer. Winchester City Council has said that the work is now expected to be completed this autumn. The work involves creating a dry space next to the bank of the Itchen by pumping out water to allow workmen dry access to replace the wooden timbers. A council spokesman said, "We have been working with dam specialist Robert Nicholas for restoration works at the weir, who are due to start the final phase within the next few weeks in order to complete the project in the autumn. The skilled team has been replacing the entire river revetment wall and filling in deep voids under the footway, as well as replacing the fence. We are pleased with the quality and progress of the work, which will be completed within the planned timescale." And there's a picture of the river with a gap between the fencing, which is covered by two metal panels.
Four budgies and two cockatiels found. Six hurt birds were found dumped in bushes by an underpass in Winchester. RSPCA Animal Rescue Officer Karen Greger rescued the birds, four budgies and two cockatiels, from the bushes in Otterbourne Hill. The abandoned birds were confined in a small cage, and none of them was in good condition. One was missing a foot, two had wing injuries, and one of the cockatiels had an eye problem and lots of damaged and missing feathers. The birds were all examined and given veterinary care before being taken to the Stubbington Ark, where they will be found new homes. The case was made public to highlight a spike in cruelty which takes place during the summer months. The RSPCA said that with pet ownership on the rise, coupled with financial pressures, the charity is braced for a summer of suffering in Hampshire. Dermot Murphy, Chief Inspectorate Officer at the RSPCA, said, "This year we are also concerned that the recent rise in pet ownership, coupled with the cost of living crisis, could see people really struggling to care for their pets, which may lead them to lash out, or could see more animals than ever being abandoned or given up."
Traffic disruption on the cards. And there's a picture of Steve Bryan, MP, and Councillor Jan Warwick standing out in Otterbourne by a sign that says work starts here on 16/07/2022 for 4 weeks, which will be fun. A pedestrian crossing is set to be constructed in Otterbourne starting on Monday, July the 18th, disrupting local traffic. Hampshire County Council will build zebra crossing opposite Nisa Local on Main Road. The work is scheduled to start on Monday, July the 18th, and is expected to last until August the 5th, with work between 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. from Monday to Friday until completion. To maximise safety, a three-way traffic light system will be in place, meaning delays between Winchester and Eastleigh, Chandler's Ford via Otterbourne should be expected. Councillor Jan Warwick said, "I promise to work hard to deliver this crossing when I first stood for election to Hampshire County Council in 2018, and I'm so pleased to see this important safety improvement will now take place." Steve Bryan, MP, said, "I know the residents will appreciate the new crossing and the continued work of Councillor Warwick and the Conservative team to improve our area." For further query or comments, the council is contactable at implementation@hants.gov.uk. That's implementation, all one word, lowercase, @hants.gov.uk.
Call for action over appalling public toilets. The appalling condition of public toilets in Winchester and Bishop Waltham were challenged at a recent council meeting. David McLean asked what Winchester City Council was doing to improve the condition of the toilets in Abbey Garden and Bishop's Waltham. He told the leader, Councillor Martin Todd, that the disabled toilets in Abbey Gardens were locked and that the male and female toilets in Bishop's Waltham had problems. Councillor Todd explained that a new officer had been appointed to deal with these issues. He said, "The officer's role is to lead on improving the street scenes across the district, and this includes our public toilets. The role has had an immediate impact on quickly coordinating improvements to the maintenance and condition of our toilets. Our contractors who clean the public toilets are generally finding it difficult to recruit suitable staff, but we are regularly meeting with them and following the appropriate contractual procedures to ensure that the quality requirements for the public toilets in Winchester District are met. We are also developing a long-term plan for our public toilets, which includes reviewing our stock and identifying what investment is needed. Abbey Garden and the Bishop's Waltham facilities are included in this review." Councillor Todd said that the reason the disabled toilets in Abbey Gardens were locked was due to an electrical problem.
GP patient satisfaction. GP patients across the Winchester area have given their opinions about the quality of the services they receive. The GP patient survey gives people the opportunity to rate their local GP surgery in areas such as overall experience, ease to get through on the phone, experience when making an appointment, usually seeing their preferred GP, and percentage of remote appointments. The highest percentage for the overall experience was shared between St Paul's Surgery, Wickham Surgery and Twyford Surgery, with 89%. In 2021, St Paul's Surgery of Winchester was rated at 91%, which is a decrease of just 2%. Wickham had gone down from 95%. On the other end of the scale, Abbeywell Surgery in Romsey had the lowest rating of 62%. As well as this, it had a rating of just 12% for ease to get through on the phone. This year, all the surgeries, the categories of confidence and trust in healthcare professional and being involved as much as wanted to be in decisions about care and treatment, were at 90% and above. One area that was rated was the percentage of remote appointments. The lowest was at Twyford Surgery with 19%, and the highest at Friarsgate Practice and Alsford Surgery with 51%.
Mum sets up baby sensory classes. Fed up with feeling unwelcome at mother and baby classes, a mum from Hampshire has set up her own and is inviting parents to join her as she launches two new locations. Trinity Kimber started running Bloom Baby classes in Basingstoke in October 2019. The sensory sessions, which help with baby development, have picked up multiple awards and have grown in popularity. Now, Trinity is expanding her empire and is about to launch new classes in Winchester and Andover. Trinity said, "I've been successfully running classes in Basingstoke for nearly 3 years, and even with the pandemic and the birth of my second child, the classes have gone from strength to strength. I currently have parents travel from Alton, Andover, Newbury, Reading and Farnborough to attend my classes, so I thought it was about time I branched out and brought my classes more local to new families. I'm hoping parents will feel comfortable, enjoy coming, and just take a break from the day-to-day and enjoy a quality 45 minutes with their newborn. It's more than just a baby class. It's welcoming you by name, sharing the highs and lows, and watching your baby develop." Winchester and Andover will be offering classes for babies aged 6 weeks to 15 months. The sessions aim to support a baby's physical, emotional, cognitive, and social development and encourage learning. Recently, Trinity was awarded runner-up in the Best Parent-Run Business category in Hampshire's Little Ankle Biters Awards. Trinity said, "My sister, who lives in Manchester, attended Bloom classes local to her and would send through adorable pictures of my niece and chat about the friend she had made at class. I never attended baby groups with my son. I always got the impression of them being cliquey, feeling left out and judged as a new mum. I looked into Bloom classes and was instantly attracted to the non-judgmental atmosphere and the fact each activity is explained so you know exactly what you are doing and why the activity benefits baby and parent. Bloom Baby are a UK-wide company that launched in 2017. It was set up by mum of three and early years professional Victoria Jennings. Winchester will host its first Bloom Baby pop-up event at Tubbs Hall in Kingsworthy on Monday, July the 18th. Tickets cost £5. Andover's pop-up event will take place on Friday, July 29th. To find out more, go to Bloom Baby Classes, that's all lowercase, one word, no punctuation, bloombabyclasses.com. And there's a picture of Bloom Baby Classes Winchester and Andover. Well, it's of a mum with a baby. The baby looks a bit bored, but the mum is looking quite sweet.
Sorry. Protest at council plan to slash school transport. Changes to the county council's home to school transport system will be protested against at the end of this month. Last week, Hampshire County Council confirmed new measures to save almost £1 million from the home-to-school transport budget, which would be done by setting up public collection points rather than collecting children directly from home. Some children will also be transported together in taxis or buses. The home-to-school transport scheme gets 12,000 children to and from school each day, with roughly a quarter of these having special education needs and disabilities. The Disability Union has been fiercely critical of the changes, saying the County Council is not putting the children first. On July the 30th, the charity is hosting a protest at the Castle Club in the Castle Winchester between the Great Hall and Winchester Crown Court. The Disability Union's Strategic Development Officer, Kirsty Smiley, said, Parents with children who need school transport already have to fight for adequate care and education. This is just another challenge they will face, and one that we predict will have a detrimental effect on school-aged children. We at the Disability Union, on behalf of the young people and their parents, wish to receive as much support as possible to add weight to our campaign. Vulnerable children should be a priority. They are always the first to suffer from mismanagement of funds, and this must be addressed. Hampshire County Council has said that the changes won't be a blanket move, and instead children will be looked at on a case-by-case basis. Speaking about the decision last week, Deputy Council Leader Councillor Ros Chadd said, "I want our home-to-school transport to be inclusive, to support children's transition, but also to be sustainable, so we can deliver this for all the children who need it." Part of that sustainability is trying to reduce the number of vehicles on the road. The fact that it's going to be on a case-by-case basis means I am in full support of the recommendations. We will work with parents and schools over the next 2 to 3 years so that the children who are able to meet at a collective point can do so, ensuring our service for the future.
Residents enjoy a Mexican-style fiesta at their care home. And there's a picture of Lucy Imrie Brown and Pam Richards sitting in very comfortable garden chairs in marvellous Mexican hats, smiling, and they're obviously tasting some Mexican goodies, and they're surrounded by rose bushes. Partygoers at Winchester Care Home donned sombreros and ponchos to enjoy a fun-filled fiesta in honour of Mexican culture and history. The colourful get-together at Cohen Cares Abbots Barton was inspired by the annual Cinco de Mayo, I may have pronounced that dreadfully wrongly, National Day. Residents and team members at the Worthy Road home marked the Mexican theme by dancing to traditional mariachi music, sampling nachos and churros, and sipping margarita cocktails and Mexican beer. Barbara London Mudge said, "We had a lot of fun at this event and thank our companions for putting in so much work to please everyone." Kirsty Sawyer, team leader at Abbots Barton, said, "It was a joy to bring Mexico to our home. Of all the food on offer, residents particularly enjoyed the chocolate churros, so there's definite interest in giving these a regular appearance on our menu."
This is one warned you not to believe everything you read. Hospital Trust forced to issue statement over stolen baby claim. Hampshire Hospitals has been forced to issue a public statement after a post on a community Facebook group claimed a newborn baby had been stolen from one of its sites. The post, originally shared to the group entitled Winchester Selling Page, claimed that a woman had impersonated a nurse and taken a two-day-old male baby from the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. It stated that she had been caught on CCTV sharing an image and asked the public for help in reuniting the young boy with his mother and catching the culprit. However, it has since been revealed that the post was a fake. The details of the incident are instead believed to be copied from an incident in Spain in 2016, in which a baby was kidnapped from Vicente Soto Memorial Medical Center. Taking to Facebook to set the record straight, Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, which runs the hospitals in Winchester, Basingstoke and Andover, wrote, "You may have seen a recent post on Facebook group about a baby being stolen from one of our hospitals. Please be assured that this is a complete fabrication and is inaccurate. If you see this post anywhere, please report it to the group administrators."
Burping Ron's set to be one of a kind burger joint. A hotly anticipated new takeaway named after a Winchester legend has confirmed it will open at the end of August, creating 10 jobs. New Winchester burger joint Burping Ron's is set to open this summer with co-owners Nordine Zahr and Lucy Isgar, also giving away free burgers to their first customers. The burger restaurant in Stockbridge Road will offer burgers, sides and shakes. Burping Rons got the name after Nordine and his team had a brainstorming session with the Winchester legend becoming the right fit for the restaurant. Mr. Purse was known as the Burping Man, who would push his decorated pram around during the annual hat fair and at Christmas. Nordine, 36, grew up in Winchester, where he had fond memories of Ron Purse, attended King's School and later Peter Simmons College, where he went on to start up chauffeur company, Amlin Chauffeurs. He said, "We were brainstorming ideas, and right away we said, Burping Rons, and that's how it started. We didn't even come up with any other names. I remember Ron very well growing up. He was always going around Winchester with his pushchair. He was one of those characters. You were sure to see him if you went to town. He was part of the furniture of Winchester." The burger joint is open for collection and delivery only, with 10 vacancies being added to Winchester job market. Nordine said, "There aren't any other burger restaurants in Winchester that hit the spot. We're using locally sourced ingredients. It's all about good food, quality food that we want to provide, because Winchester is just missing a good burger joint with great sides. There is a lack of choice around Winchester. There's nothing specific for burgers with good quality personally, so we thought, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it properly. We're all about quality. We have gone to 3 or 4 suppliers for the burgers and tested each one to make sure the levels are correct for each burger. We have tested everything to make sure they are the best for us. Even the vegetables are locally sourced." And there's a picture of Burping Ron's, which looks a bit dilapidated at the moment, but I guess it's going to be done up before it opens.
Falls and Frailty Service launches another van. A mobile service has been set up to respond quickly when people fall, in a bid to save trips to hospital for elderly and frail patients. Southern Health NHS Foundation Trust, in partnership with Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, South Central Ambulance Service and Wessex Academic Health Science Network, has seen success with its Falls and Frailty van service and expanded its service with another van on July the 14th. And there's a picture of 2 teams, each comprising 5 people, and 2 vans, all in the sunshine and beaming. The mobile initiative enables patients to be treated at home and avoid a trip to the emergency department. It consists of a specialist paramedic and a frailty specialist clinician, and staff are deployed with specialist equipment in frailty cars to treat patients who have fallen or are experiencing frailty symptoms in their own homes. Naomi Purdy, consultant nurse in frailty at Southern Health Foundation Trust, said, "The most important thing is patient safety, and that means the quickest response and the most appropriate care. This service is delivering healthcare closer to home and improving healthcare for older people in an integrated way through cross-organisational working. Patients think it's part of the service from the ambulance. They don't recognise it as anything other than a response from the ambulance service at first, and that is really great because it shows it's a seamless service. The service has won acclaim and has even been shortlisted for a National Health Service Journal Award for patient safety, improving care for older people. It was set up first to provide falls and frailty care to many elderly patients who were shielding from COVID-19, and so going to hospital was too risky for their health. But the service has now seen more than 1,000 patients within their homes since November 2020. And approximately 80% of those patients did not need to go to hospital following home-based treatment and follow-up appointments from the urgent community response teams. The winners of the National Patient Safety Award will be announced in September.
Language teachers set up free English classes. 2 Hampshire language teachers have joined forces to deliver free English lessons to Ukrainian children who have been uprooted from their homes by war. In a collaborative effort, Susie Boone of Tutor Doctor Winchester and A.D. Twining of Tutor Doctor Central Southampton and Salisbury are hoping to instill confidence in the young refugees ahead of their introduction to school in September. As the community continues to band together and support Ukrainians in need, the business partners turned local philanthropists identified the opportunity to contribute to the efforts through education. With the full support of Southampton City Council, Ukrainian children have been attending Woolston Library every Saturday since the beginning of June. Completely free, the sessions are helping develop the children's English speaking, so more are prepared to accept the places allocated to them in local schools and restart their education after months of turmoil. "This period and this endeavour in particular has shown how lucky we are," Ady said. "Our children have never had to experience anything like this, and it's been amazing seeing how generous the community is already being in support of those who have had to seek refuge in the UK. We wanted to help as well, to do our bit. If this helps children get off to a good start, then that's brilliant. We are also really happy to be opening more employment opportunities in this venture." Conducting the 90-minute sessions for the children, who are continuing to adapt to their new surroundings, are tutors Liuda and Robert. A professor of physics before leaving Kiev and a refugee herself, Liuda reached out to Ady about tutoring when she arrived in the UK and was given the employment opportunity in order to support herself and her own son. She said, "I'm really grateful to Ady and Susie for setting this up. Not only have they given me the chance to help children who have had a terrible few months, but I'm now earning a wage and in doing so have regained some independence. Ady and Susie have been so supportive, they've even taken me and my son out for a pizza. The children are doing brilliantly in the lessons and they're already making big improvements in their English speaking language skills." Ady and Susie have been working closely with the Southampton Ukrainians Community Support Group to help connect them to the children and families who need support. 11 children now attend the classes in the purpose-built classroom, and having identified a further 17 families who will benefit, Ady and Susie are hoping to give this opportunity to as many children as possible.
Space for Sanctuary, an initiative music and arts event involving the public, is coming to Winchester Cathedral this autumn. Space for Sanctuary will see members of the community bring their own music, art, poetry, theatre or dance to share in the cathedral. It will be a chance on Wednesday, November the 3rd, say the organisers, to come together to celebrate our diversity and unity and stand with those seeking sanctuary. Everyone is welcome and there are many opportunities to get involved, including instrumental or choral music, words, poems, movement, dance and visual arts. Play to the Crowd created a large poppet boat which made its debut appearance at Hat Fair recently. The boat will be on show in the University of Winchester Chapel until it makes its way down to Space for Sanctuary in November. Along this, Hampshire Cultural Trust are creating an exhibition which aims to give context around the roles Winchester and Hampshire and have played with regards to sanctuary over the centuries. To find out more information, see the following website, bit.ly/spaceforsancmusicsignup. Upon signing up, you will receive more detailed information in September regarding exactly how the event is going to work. And that website is bit.ly/capital S space for sank, capital S for sank, music, sick, sign up. All in one line.
Officer attends police awards. An off-duty Hampshire police officer who dragged an injured and violent man off a busy motorway carriage, saving his life, attended the National Police Bravery Awards recently. PC Jordan Janeway wrestled with the man who was in the middle of a mental health crisis after he had tried to attack his own father and other innocent motorists with a hammer on the M3 near Winchester. Her colleagues at Hampshire Police said they were proud of her. A spokesperson said, "Unfortunately, she did not win the regional award, but we are all very proud of PC Janeway and what she did that day." At around 4 o'clock on the afternoon of November the 14th in 2020, PC Janeway, who'd only been a police officer for a few months, was off duty and driving along the motorway to get to work. Coming towards Winchester, she saw a vehicle parked in the hatched area that separates the slip road from the first lane of the carriageway. And she then saw a man in front of the vehicle frantically waving his arms, with another man lying partially in the live lane, forcing her to brake hard to avoid hitting him. She pulled over, she got out to assist the driver of the stopped vehicle, who said he'd hit the man after he'd stepped out in front of his car. They both dragged the injured man out of the live lane and to relative safety on the hard shoulder. He was bleeding from his head, but he was conscious. Another motorist approached and said the injured man had just tried to attack him with a hammer and had also been fighting with someone else, which is when PC Janeway spotted the weapon in the second lane of the motorway. The injured man started to talk and made a further attempt to get up and move towards the carriageway, forcing PC Janeway and the member of the public to restrain him. He then started to try to pull PC Janeway down towards him, attempting to sexually assault her. The man was restrained until on-duty officers arrived and handcuffed him. It later transpired that the man had attacked his own father with a hammer immediately prior to PC Janeway's arrival, while in a van on the M3. The man, who was suffering a violent mental health crisis, also tried to attack multiple others. Hampshire Police Federation Chair Zoe Wakefield said Jordan showed immense bravery and integrity by stopping to assist with this incident while off duty at great risk to herself.
Alsford teacher honoured at awards in Parliament. A citizenship teacher from a school in Alsford has been honoured at an event at the Houses of Parliament. Bryden Joy, who works at Perrins School, was nominated alongside more than 100 outstanding citizenship teachers, school leaders and organisations from across the UK in an Association for Citizenship Teaching Award. Mr Joy, who has been teaching for 14 years, received the award for GCSE Teacher of the Year. In 2019, he used his enthusiasm and subject expertise in media literacy to co-develop a groundbreaking CPD course and regularly shares his expertise and GCSE classroom practice with others as an ACT ambassador teacher. That's Association for Citizenship Teaching. MPs, including the MP for Winchester, Steve Brine, of course, were in attendance to congratulate their local winners and listen to the importance of citizenship teaching. Mr. Brine said, "It was a pleasure to see Bryden pick up this award, and it's an absolute recognition of the work he does at Perrins School. I've had the pleasure to interact with him on a number of times as I've engaged with students at the school over the past decade." And there's a smiling picture of Bryden Joy in the centre, smiling, holding his award. And then on one side of him is Steve Brine, also smiling. And then handing over the award is a smiling woman who doesn't happen to be named in the picture.
Schoolboys take part in Hare Trail. School pupils were invited to take part in the Hares of Hampshire public art display by painting their own leveret. 36 schools took on the project, painting one or more leveret, as part of the art exhibition that is taking place throughout the summer in Winchester and Southampton. Each participating school raised at least £700 for the Murray Parish Trust, the charity behind the trail. The charity raises money for life-saving equipment for children's emergency services. The Pilgrim School in Winchester went above and beyond the quota, painting 3 leverets and raising £8,000. The leveret, designed by school, can be found on the High Street in the Three Minsters House window. Pilgrim School Head of Art John Walters oversaw the project, with a student committee choosing from 250 designs. Mr. Walters said, "The feeling from the boys was that given that it's a public artwork and we're doing it at a school, it would be nice if it represented us. I was absolutely taken with the Year 4's design. He'd taken the 3 school colours. On top of that, he'd then drew one of the distinctive architectural features of the school. The school opted for their leveret to be hosted in Winchester so the children could see them easily. All the leverets can be found in groups called droves across Winchester and Southampton. Mr. Waters added, there was a real sense of pride and ownership with the leveret and the project across the whole school. The project was proposed to the school by a parent and local property worker, George Bernard. The school hosted fundraising events such as a mini fete and a sponsored walk. After 10 weeks of being on public display, the leverets will return to their designated schools once the trail ends on August the 25th. With the exception of three leverets, one designed by charity co-founder Jim Murray, another by a children's hospital, and the original promotional leveret, will be sold along with the larger hares at a farewell auction in September. All proceeds from the auction will go to the Murray Parish Trust. Around 46 leverets, each just over a metre tall and 1.2 metres in length, can be spotted around Winchester and Southampton using the Hares of Hampshire app. Trail manager Julie Mountain said all the schools that participated have been incredible, enthusiastic and committed, and obviously incredibly creative as well.
A Mill Group member plea. A Hampshire windmill charity is looking for new young members to revitalise the group. There's a photograph of two quite elderly people up to their knees in an extremely muddy-looking place, river possibly, to go with this article. They seem to be clearing it of something. Hampshire Mills Group was created to preserve and restore mills, as well as educating the public about mill history. Originally set up 40 years ago, the current chairman of the group, Dr. Ashok Vadia, aged 68, says that current members are ageing out of their roles. He said, "We currently have about 100 members, but only about 40 of us are active. Everyone's getting older. In the next 10 years, many will leave and eventually the group will stop. The retiree has been a member of the group for 20 years and now he's trying to bring in young people to rejuvenate the charity." He said, "Bringing people to join the group, especially young people, will broaden our reach. I think we're optimistic coming out of lockdown. It's exciting to have physical meetings again. With over 240 water mills and 100 windmills across Hampshire, the group really needs lots of new, younger members, middle-aged counts, to take up the mantle."
Winner of our Pet Idol competition announced. The winner of the Pet Idol competition for 2022 has been announced. Congratulations to Kerry Pitter from Durley, who took the top spot with his Great Dane King Arthur. Kerry said he was over the moon when he found out King Arthur had won. He has had the 9-month-old since it was born. Kerry said, "We wanted to donate our prize money to the Great Dane Rescue Charity. Our friends who read the Chronicle all voted for him. He's been cute ever since he was born. We're chuffed to have won it." Kerry explained that King Arthur was growing extremely quickly, at one point 1 inch a week. Also that he was very close to being the world's biggest dog, but that growth had slowed over the last few weeks. Kerry said he was eating between 3 kilograms and 4 kilograms of food a day, but now in this heat it's more like 2 kilograms. Our readers decided King Arthur was worthy of the win by sending in postal votes following June 25th's edition of the newspaper. Readers submitted 40 different pets for Pet Idol this year, with King Arthur coming out on top. Kerry will now receive £50 in vouchers, and there's 2 pictures indeed of King Arthur, including the winning photograph. And yes, I have to report, he's very, very cute.
Winchester Coffee Shop is rebranded. A top coffee spot in Winchester has reopened with a new name and brand. Coffee Lab on Little Minster Street has been rebranded as Academy. The new branch officially opened on Thursday, July the 14th. But coffee lovers, fear not. The rebrand was brought in as the owners who wanted to expand its offer and showcase different independent coffee producers. Director Joe Fellows said, "We are excited to be involving business to champion coffee brands from across the globe. We are creating more choice for the discerning palates of Winchester Academy. It will be a great place to meet, relax and appreciate coffee from specialty roasters you haven't tried before. Our baristas are looking forward to encouraging customers to try something beyond a regular latte. Coffee Lab opened 6 years ago and has become known for its own award-winning coffee produced at its roastery in Winchester, in Winnell. Now the business is evolving to celebrate the most exciting coffee producers from around the world. Each month, it will bring in new brands for coffee fans to try out in the cafe, made by Academy's expert baristas and buy to take home to brew themselves. The first of the two guest producers will be from Girls at Grind. They are all an all-female roastery based in the southwest of England, sourcing coffees specifically and exclusively from women. The second is award-winning Assembly from Brixton, London, who roast the world's rarest and highest quality coffees. There will be two different coffees from both roasters. The Academy team will tell customers more about the roasts and the best ways to enjoy them when they visit.
Concludes the extract for this week, I'm afraid. Thank you to our editors for choosing the extracts, and thank you to our memory stick preparation, copying and dispatch teams. And of course, thanks to today's readers, Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Goodbye.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Goodbye.
And Margaret Boyden.
Goodbye.
And from me, Roy Faithful, thank you for listening. Goodbye for now, and I hope you stay safe and well in the week ahead. When you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet. Please place the correct address label on the front of the wallet too, and return the wallet as soon as possible. Thank you, and goodbye again.